Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Code Enforcement Board meeting of July 13th, 2017. The meeting will now come to order. Madam Secretary, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Mr. Weatherholt?
Here.
Mrs. Howe?
Here.
Mrs. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
And Ms. Grundy?
Here.
Mr. Smart did call us, but he was unable to make it today.
Okay.
Do you want to formally excuse him?
Yes.
Okay.
Motion to excuse?
So moved.
Second.
All right. Motion by Mr. Harrington and a second by Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed, motion carries. All right. Just a short aside here. I hope everyone on the Code Enforcement Board and elsewhere heals quickly. But I'm glad you're all here.
We need to see if we can get a group discount.
Okay. Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes? Are there any additions or corrections? Motion to approve? Motion, Mrs. Himes. Second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Does anyone need to disclose any ex parte communication? All right. Do we have any announcements, Madam Secretary?
Yes, Manager. We do have a couple of cases that are in compliance that are not reflected on the agenda.
Okay.
Actually, we have some compliance ones that are on the agenda. If you'd like, I'll go ahead and
read those. Go ahead. Read them all.
On page 3, number 8, CEB 051765 for 119 Thomason Ave. Is compliance June 27, 2017. On page 4, number 11, CEB 061769 for 101 South Peninsula Drive, compliance July 10th. Case number 12, CEB 051740 for 252 Forest Lake Boulevard, compliance June 26th. On page 5, number 16, case number CEB 061773 for 1147 Lakewood Park Drive, compliance June 23rd, 2017. Number 17, CEB 061774 for 648 Mason Avenue, compliance June 20th, 2017. And under the new cases on page 6, number 20071783 for 118 North Palmetto Avenue, compliance July 10th. And number 24, CEB 071782, 25 Boardwalk, compliance June 27th, 2017.
Okay.
Amy, a question. Let me see if I can. I didn't mark down the numbers on my. The one where they pulled a tree without a permit.
Yeah.
What do they do to mitigate that?
That one was not. That's still being heard.
I thought
today.
That was the.
No,
that's number 13.
Number 13.
Number 12 is in compliance.
Okay.
The one right before that.
Okay. All right.
Excuse me. Number 13 here is a damaged roof and weather pole and uprooted tree.
That's the case that's still being heard today.
Okay. I'm asking about the one where they had actually cut the tree down.
That was 12.
Okay.
Oh.
What do they do to mitigate when they cut a tree down without a permit? Do they have to plant another tree or does anybody know?
By code, that's what, that it would be a mitigation done with adding additional trees. Now, I think that's what occurred.
So that's what they'll do then?
Yeah,
they put all the plants and trees on.
Okay, just thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Would our code officers please come forward and be sworn in?
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
And I see we have, do we have two new code officers? Would you like to come up and introduce yourselves to us? Just quick, just a minute.
my name is Mark Jones. I just started back here on the 26th.
Great.
Good morning.
Hi.
Steve Alderman, I used to be here between 2007 and 2011.
All right. Well, welcome to both of you. Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to point out that I worked with Mark Jones. Mark Jones has been the last 3 or 4 years doing the Volusia County Code Enforcement staff. Did an excellent job. I'm sure I'm glad we didn't lose him in the county down here.
Good. Okay. All right, everyone. Here's our procedure. We'll be calling cases by number and, for the most part, in order as they are listed on the agenda. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record, and if you are not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak directly into the microphone. The board will hear from code officers first, and then you'll be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all your responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedure. All right, so I think we're just going to start right out and go into lien review number one. Today's agenda should not be extraordinarily long like the last few, so we should be able to move through this fairly quickly. Looking forward to that.
And we do have the same property address for lien review one and two. However,
yes.
There are two separate cases.
Right. So I like to hear cases, you know, separately since they're listed separately. All right. So lien review number one.
There should be a respondent present, Mr. Groner, I think, on behalf of Mr.
Yeah, please come forward if you someone's here. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Albert Groner. I have a power of attorney for Mr. Bruce Lindegrass. I've known him since 2003, and his mind and body has deteriorated. He's 80% disabled. I'm here to see if... Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Can you raise your right hand, please?
Yes.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. We'll hear from the code enforcement people first. So Mr. Jackson, our attorney.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city of Daytona Beach. This lien review, I don't know anyone who has actually looked back and saw the notes remember this case, but this was a case of, and this is my best recollection. I'll bring the inspector, Tom Cleek, come speak to it as well, where I know there were numerous neighbor complaints and a situation that really was overwhelming for that neighborhood. We worked through it. As you see, the liens accrued. There was not sufficient or significant effort in terms of bringing this into compliance. The staff's position is that no reduction should be granted on this request for review. And again, I'll turn to Mr. Cleek so he can give you further information regarding the position of the staff.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Officer Clegg, Neighborhood Services. My credentials are on file. This is a case, first of all, 388 Brookline is on the corner of Atlantic and Brookline, a very visible piece of property in a residential section. It was under repeat violation status for utility trailer parking and trailer parking. And going down to case number two, when the gentleman got evicted, he absolutely lived in his trailer with his girlfriend, 3 dogs, no electricity, no water. He was using the yard as his restroom. As you can see, it's a 12 by, I think it was 20, a utility trailer. Numerous complaints to the police and to us. I contacted the owner numerous times, and they refused to even get the thing moved, for private property towing. Again, it was over just about a month that these people lived in this trailer on the property and in the Bloomington neighborhood.
I remember this guy. There was a lot of conflict with neighbors and things going on.
Yeah, the conflict with neighbors was they were defecating in his front yard, and not only the people, but the dogs were. And there was numerous police issues where every time they called us back too. But yeah,
you were in contact with the actual owner.
Yes, and then the owner, and I believe this gentleman here too, that it was like his representative.
Okay.
And so. So they actually, like I said, we're living out of that trailer.
So this is totally cleaned up now?
Yes, sir. The house is demolished.
Okay.
And
what's in the trailer?
The tenants.
Not Mr. Lindegrass?
No.
And that's why he couldn't get him out?
No, he could have got him out, but the thing was that they were some sort of stipulation that, then going down to case two also, they were tenants, but they never paid any actual rent. They were supposed to be doing work for the owner, and it was like a barter system.
And your recommendation?
No reduction for nothing.
Okay, Mr. Groner, please come forward because this is your chance to speak. Usually people send a letter that accompanies our lien review. Okay. So here's your chance.
I'm familiar with that, yeah. So.
Okay.
Like I said, I've known Mr. Lindegrass since 2003, and his mental and physical condition is diminished. He's on 80% disability. The reason why he couldn't get the tenants out was because they threatened him, and they had dogs in there.
Yeah, they... Mm-hmm.
It was horrible, okay? They even tried to sue him. Of course, they lost. I brought him to every court case that he was involved in. I did get him some money from the insurance company because of the wind loss on the roof, which enabled him to pay for the demolition.
Okay.
He owes $67,000 on the property. I'm working with a realtor to try to sell the property. No one's come forward because of the condition of the hotel that's next to it. He does live in Ormond Beach. In 2003, he purchased that home for $190,000, but because of poor understanding and knowledge of interest and interest rates, he still owes $185,000 on it. He lives on his disability, and he has no funds. So, was it his fault that he didn't come forward or wasn't strong enough to get the tenants out? Mm-hmm. Not if they were threatening him, okay? So that all that stuff was not his fault. And they demolished the inside. So I understand where you're coming from, but I'm just saying I seen the situation. I came from Orlando to try to help him out. And I was there at that place trying to even get rid of them. Their dogs were massive. Even the mailman was there.
We saw pictures of them.
Yeah, it was crazy. Mm-hmm. So that's all I have to say.
Okay. Oh, when did you get power of attorney?
About a year ago.
Okay. And that's when this case first came forward, is about a year ago, Mr. Kluge?
No, it was a little bit more than a year ago. On June 9th, it was effective, but it was, I think, a couple months prior to, so about April.
Okay.
If he had the means, I wouldn't be here, okay? Like I said, he owes more on both properties, and he's a hoarder. Intentionally? No, he wasn't that way in 2003. But he's just, and a piece of junk car that he drives, when he drives. I mean, it's just horrible. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything from the board? We can feel bad for his condition, but it really was such a huge eyesore and horrible conditions for the people around there that I'm inclined to go with code enforcement's recommendation. I don't know. That's why I asked. I don't know when this first came forward and when the conditions started.
I didn't hear her question.
When did this case first come forward? And Mrs. Himes thinks it came in 2014. But I don't have that information in front of me. But, I mean, obviously it was 6/16 when it came, this particular. So it was in 14?
You indicate that the very first notification was December 17, 2014, was the initial notification.
Okay.
That was when the original order of noncompliance was entered for outside storage and parking of trailers.
Oh, that was the basis for the repeat violation?
Yes.
From
that order. So the order was entered of noncompliance for parking of the trailers and outside storage in December 17th of 2014, and then the repeat violation happened May 4th, 2016.
Okay.
May 5th, 2016.
Okay.
So the fine was from that.
All right. I get that. Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't our packet. Okay. Any other comments? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to deny a reduction in the lien.
Second.
Motion by Mrs. Himes, second by Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, we'll go on to lien number 2, CEB061636. Basically, it's the 388 Brookline, the same property. Oh, yeah, that was the repeat file. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. While this is a separate case, it's it was the same property. Much more the emphasis on the conditions of the structure itself, the inside.
Mm-hmm.
The recommendation of the staff is the same. I'll turn to Mr. Klee to explain the position of the staff.
Good morning again, Officer Klee. My credentials are on file. This case in 10 years that I've been on with code enforcement is one of the worst I had. The tenants were living in the house. Had absolutely no drywall, no floor. You could see the sky, the rafters of the roof. The roof was collapsed. They were using extension cords for electricity, the hot water heater, and other issues. Recommendation, like I said, these are the pictures are self-explanatory. It's just like I cannot believe someone was living in these conditions. They said they were there for almost a year. And again, they were trying to do a barter system with the owner, and the people that were the tenants that were living here were supposed to be type handyman people that would do some work, and so therefore my recommendation is no reduction.
Okay.
The owner was living on this property that whole 10 years or not?
I'm not sure, but the owner was living on it. But again, I've came numerous cases for maintenance violations with the tenants. I've never met the owner. I've met this gentleman a couple times.
So he basically received no income for that, at least for that year that you were aware of.
That's what the tenants told me, that they bartered, did work for the guy at some other properties that he owned. So I think it's a personal house up in Orman.
Okay, Mr. Groner?
The tenants are criminals. They have records. They scared him half to death. They tore down the building.
Right.
Not him. Okay? They also stole money from him. Unfortunately, he gets his disability and he paid him cash for the things that they never even did. Now, I have other people that I could have brought as witnesses, which is the neighbor, which also works for the city, and the manager of the hotel. But it wasn't his fault. He was just a scared old, not old, I'm 76, he's 65, but he was a scared man.
Yeah.
Okay? That's it. Now, my other question is, if he owes more than the house is worth, and he owes more than the other house is worth in Ormond Beach, how do you get the money from him?
Well, that is a question for the legal department, not for me. I mean,
I just don't think it's fair based on if it was his fault, I wouldn't even be here.
Well, I don't intend to argue with you, but my opinion is that they were allowed to live in there.
He couldn't get them out.
To start with.
He couldn't get them out.
To start with.
He also called the police department. I know that because I met them there. He couldn't get them out. They wanted to sue him. It was just crazy. They were criminals with the knowledge of the law. Okay? That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Can I go now?
Sure. Any other comments? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to deny a reduction of the lien. Motion, okay. Mrs. Himes. Second, Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Moving on to our continued cases. Case number 1, CEB04-17-20, Irvin White at 240 DeSoto Street. Mr. White, come forward, please. Good morning. Good.
Can you state your name, please, sir?
Irvin White.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I'll tell you the truth, I don't swear.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're going to hear from code and then we will listen to what you have to say.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy reports that the respondent has obtained, has submitted permits, and he's waiting for approval. The permits under review, and the staff is requesting that this be amended to the next cutoff. I turn to Mr. McCoy if there's any other factual questions, but that's the status right now, and so the request of the staff is that we amend to the next cutoff.
Yeah, I have a question. Exactly what date were the permits requested?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jerome McCoy, Neighborhood Service Inspector, my credentials on file. I'm going to have to pass that to the owner because I'm not aware of the dates that they were actually submitted.
Well, when you recommended the next cutoff, didn't you ask him copies of those permits?
I spoke to the gentleman, but we didn't really discuss the date of the that the permit was actually submitted.
You have,
but they are on record.
You have. Yeah.
So.
All right, we'll get that. Let's have Mr. White come up and tell us and show us that he's submitted.
Okay. It was submitted on it. They received it in on the 8th, but they didn't do the final document until the 9th of last month. That's why.
Okay, that's here. Right. So July 9th is
yes.
when they. Okay.
Yes.
I think he's in June.
June 9th.
Oh, yeah, sorry. June 9th.
But,
yeah.
On the 5th, I came down here and picked up a points list to pick up the permit.
Right.
Actually, things that they wanted done.
Okay.
I picked it up first for myself. I went and did everything. Here's the revision sheet where I turned it in. Here's the where I paid for everything they wanted to pay for. All the information here. He must went to the Midtown Redevelopment Board, got all the colors and everything. She gave me a letter for all that. And I was looking to have the permit stay here in front of y'all this morning, so I'm ready to go to work.
Okay, good.
So now, to my attention came when 2 days ago I was down here turning in some more paperwork saying that we got to make the duplex out of house now. And they couldn't talk to me. So I had to talk to the contractor. So I proceeded to give him a call, and he said, well, Mr. White, I'll get back with you. And he don't almost understand what they're saying either.
Have they required you to have an architect or an engineer do a drawing of the?
Well, we turned in all that.
You turned in.
Yeah.
We were turning
that's all
that. All
turned in.
Yes, yeah. And they yeah. gave him this punch list and said that's all we need right. to pick the permits up. And
so now, so they gave you the punch list, and now there's another requirement that's not on there.
They said change everything we've done.
What you're saying is the structure was a duplex.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're saying most likely is it's a single family residence and they can't build the duplex
okay.
in a single family residence.
No. It's zoned for duplexes and it
oh,
is a duplex.
So.
Okay.
And they want me to make it a single family residence when the area is zoned for the duplex. The lot is large enough.
Who
for
wants
duplex.
You to make it?
But this is the information I got from downstairs.
Okay, yeah.
They say we can't talk to you, but we can't.
Okay.
This is when I was turning in other paperwork for another
okay.
job.
Okay.
So,
Mr. Jackson, if we continue this case and the permits are still a problem, would you ask that somebody from permitting be here?
Certainly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to ask some questions of what's going on here. This. Is it going to go on forever? Everybody seems a little confused. So maybe they could answer us directly.
Okay, yeah. If
next time, let, you
certainly.
Know, see what the issues are.
If there appears to be that the city
is not in compliance, bring somebody for permits.
Yeah. Right.
In compliance and the fine.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, moving forward on the next stage,
right,
I don't
exactly.
know.
Come back and ask for more
presumption.
Time, Mr.
I understand.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, it appears that the progress has been made. There's some decisions that have been made that have to be worked out. And I'll be happy to bring someone if they can't get those things figured out and get it on track.
Three different agencies. You got the CRA and this. And
divisions. We're all the city. But okay. Yeah, well, kind of.
Divisions.
All right, thank you.
All right. Anything
well,
else?
You know, on items like this, you know, we have them every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be a good idea to either have the inspectors, you know, talk to the building official, or have somebody from the building department
here.
And
that, yeah.
There's no sense wasting time on
right.
something like this and holding this gentleman up
right.
until he gets an answer and coming up before the code enforcement for a fine.
Well, and this is just my personal perspective, if I can. I think that the things that y'all have to decide would not necessarily be impacted by what the permit staff is resolving with the respondent in terms of only to the question of how long should it take, but in terms of whether or not, you know, the zoning questions, those types of things, those are the things they're trying to now work out, and I don't know if those are necessarily within the realm of the jurisdiction of the board.
What
but
do you think it's
informational, and I'll be happy to bring them in there
and
inform you.
That's what I'd like
you.
To have, more information.
More information.
For certain. Absolutely. I think it would be very fair
yeah,
for you to have
I
as
mean,
much information
and,
that's available.
And I think it's fair to the respondent to have someone here and to the code enforcement people to have someone here so they can definitively say, yes, these papers were turned in, you know, on June 8th.
Yeah, well, we don't disagree at all. We're 100% in agreement that the papers are turned in and that we're up to this process, but there is a kink that needs to be resolved
right.
between the staff
okay.
and the respondent.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until August 2nd, 2017, to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion? We're just amending to the next cutoff.
So moved.
And I'll second it and we can vote on it.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Jones, a second by Mr. Harrington. What would you like to say?
Okay, I was going to say with what he's saying now that he's this hop again, is August going to be enough time to get this?
Well, we'll find out. We'll get a building person here and find out, what, you know, what, how long they intend to take.
Mr. I just Jones? Think we should give this gentleman all the help we possibly can.
Yeah.
It's nice to see somebody come in that wants to do
right.
it correctly. There's no, I mean, he's come many, many times. He's
right.
obviously an honest, hardworking
right.
person. We need to do all we possibly can to help him.
Could okay. you, would you amend that, you know, to a continuance? You know, it kind of makes me a little leery about a fine.
Well, I don't think that.
Because it's not his fault.
Yeah, I think the difference, though, I think if you make it. It's
he's still got to come back anyway. I think it's just technical. I don't think it matters. I mean,
no,
we're just,
no.
right?
You're not finding anybody.
We're not finding yeah. anybody. We'll make the decision next time.
The thing's always out there.
Right. Is that all right?
Yeah, I think it's great to see it.
Come back in August and it's still not resolved. Mm-hmm.
Well, that, but we need to hear what's
yeah.
going
if
on.
It's, if it's not resolved,
yeah.
I want to hear the reasons.
Yes.
The real reasons.
Yeah.
Not because it takes time or.
Right.
I want to know exactly what it's going to take. This is one case.
And
if there's 500 down
decision.
There, we're never going to get anything done.
We could make a better decision as to how much more time
Absolutely.
Mr. White needs. Right. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. So we'll see you next month. I'm sorry, but, you know, because how many times have you been here? Yeah, okay. And he's come every single time, too. So. All right, case number two, CEB 0517-45, Sylvester and Garrett Covington. Anybody here? All right, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector reports is requesting that a fine be imposed of $50 per day to a maximum of $20,000, plus a one-time $250 fee for the failure to obtain the business tax receipt. The property remains in noncompliance. Inspector Jerome McCoy. I will turn to Mr. McCoy to answer any factual questions.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Jerome McCoy, Code Enforcement Inspector. My credentials on file.
Has there been anything done at all? Any contact?
There's been contact once since they came in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been going over to periodically to see the property, and I can see that the grass has been cut. But as far as the damage to the roof, is I see no evidence of anyone coming to do any work on that. Structural, where some of the drywall is falling from the mm-hmm. ceiling, and the stairs is some problems with that as well, like with dry rot, decay.
Is the building occupied?
At this moment, no, because I went by yesterday and okay. I checked, and there's no one there. But one of the items I cited them for was a rental license.
Uh-huh.
And when I did go, was able to get inside after the previous hearing,
mm-hmm.
A gentleman that was actually cutting the grass out there, he was able to get me inside the apartment, and it was some items from someone inside. And he said that someone was living there. But at this moment, there's right. no one there.
Any questions?
What's the city's recommendation here?
$50 a day up to $20,000.
$50 a day is going to be nothing. I think we should increase it.
I tend to agree. Any other yeah. comments on that?
Yeah, I'll make one comment. And, okay. and so I think I may have told you before, because of my circumstance, I wasn't at our pre-meeting talked about it, but... I guess our history with dealing with Mr. Covington, as well as that they had tended to handle their matters. We understand. We have knowledge that the owner is ill, is, and has not been as attentive as he had been in the past. Don't really. It's not as much a complaint issue, but we know that we need this thing remedied. We've been going and following up, expecting remedy. And so this is the status we're in. We realize that I believe there's an Alzheimer's issue going on right now, and so we know that there's some overwhelming other circumstances that are affecting their efforts to get things done.
Right. Well, we all, you know, always feel bad when there are extenuating medical circumstances, but we need to get these properties cleaned up, is my opinion. Does anyone have anything else?
I agree with you.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm. Let me just state a motion, and we'll see where we get with it. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $100 per day against the respondent, effective today, which is July 13th, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $20,000. And further imposes a one-time $250 administration fee for a business tax receipt. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Mr. Weatherholt, second by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion. But yes. Okay, one nay. Motion carries. All right. Case number 3, CEB 05-17-46. Luis Miguel Rivero and Victor Peralta. You're Mr. Peralta, the new owner, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Be sworn in, please.
Yeah, Victor Peralta, 2833, Reading Crescent.
I'm sorry?
Could
you just state your name, please?
Victor Peralta.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, we're here for a progress report. Should we just move forward with that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Staff's position is that, at least our knowledge is that he's making satisfactory progress, but we'd like to hear from him.
Okay.
Yeah, we work in the... we applied for the demo permit one day,
mm-hmm.
and we doing the we painting the outside right now. We already put the primer and everything. We just waiting for the paint, and when we get the demo, then we're gonna change the doors and the windows. We should get the permit like tomorrow or Monday.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
Any questions? Staff satisfied that it's on its way into compliance and he's working?
Yeah, that's the position of staff, that okay. He's making adequate progress towards compliance.
Good. All right, so we'll see you next month. Thank you. Okay. Case number 4, CEB 04-17-15, Norman H. Riley at 340 Taylor Avenue. Respondent present. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do I go first?
Okay,
just come up and state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Hello, my name is Kelly Riley. My parents are Norman and Rosalie Riley. My dad passed away last year.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll let you testify in a minute. Please just have a seat right there. You can sit right up front. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. This case has been going on for a little bit, and our most recent issues, you may recall, is that there was some tenants that needed to hand out. That there were some tenants that needed to be removed, and that they were having some challenges in resolving that in court. That's they've resolved it by a mediation agreement, where the tenants were supposed to be out by July 5th. I don't know if they're out or not, but with the July 5th date being the date that the tenants were to be removed, we're asking that it be amended to the next cutoff to allow them the respondent to complete the repairs that are required on the property and bring the property into compliance.
Okay. Ms. Riley? What would you like to tell us about what's going on?
Basically, because we went with mediation, I have to go back to the court to get him actually out. He's halfway out right now. I'm just trying...
I'm listening.
All I want to do is get about 30 days, and I can get this done.
Okay.
It's the backyard, and the primary problem is the backyard, and when I clean that up, the fence panels can be taken down, and it'll look a lot better. But
yeah,
I couldn't go there and do anything while the eviction process was underway. Everybody told me to stay away from there because he was unpleasant, to say the least. Yeah, and yeah. It wasn't very safe. And I'm
so
he came back from jail.
The court ordered them to be out by the 5th of July.
It was mediation. And there's
a court-ordered mediation.
Yeah.
And he agreed to be out in 30 days.
And he agreed. Now you have... Well...
I have to go back to court.
Yes.
Need to leave then.
Right.
Once he's out, that's over. It seems like there's a lot more on this complaint than just the backyard.
Well, I have to paint it, and...
So you have been working there.
Yeah, well, we did a lot before he got out of jail and came back. Yeah, they picked up an entire, you know, where they take the claw and they pick up garbage that way. They came by and picked the whole garbage pile was
okay. What I'm getting at, let's assume that he's out tomorrow. Is 30 days going to be enough for you to complete these repairs that need to be done?
If it's not structural things, yes.
Oh, so you don't know whether they're structural things. I'm asking you if you really know what needs to be done, since you haven't been able to have it inspected.
Let's talk to Mr. Fitzgerald for a minute.
Good morning. Mike Fitzgerald for the City of Daytona Beach. I'm a building rehab inspector. The building, even if he leaves and she may need more time, we have no problem with giving her the time at that point. She shouldn't be there while he's still living there. There may be issues there. And it's mostly cleanup. And then there'll be some structural stuff in the back house where she'll need to pull permits for, so that will take some time.
Okay. All right, thank you. Mr. Jackson, what are the next legal steps that need to be taken?
No.
Okay.
It's hard to make those.
Okay.
You don't want to drive it.
All right.
So say the city told me to do this.
Yeah. So okay. I just was trying to get a time frame of how long.
If he doesn't leave, obviously,
right,
he has to go back to court.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, and I'm saying, is 60 days going to be, assuming they're out tomorrow, is 60 days going to be enough to get these things done, or do we want to talk about 30 days?
I certainly think that we need to see what's going on 30 days from now to make sure that...
Why don't we have a continuance and see what happens with the tenant for next month, and then go from there. Let's make sure that the tenant's happy. She's not going to be able to do anything until the tenant leaves.
No.
So...
I'd like to ask what I'm seeing up here. I see the White House and then this orange one that keeps popping up. Are those both on the same property?
There are two houses on the property.
There are two houses on the property.
And he's living in the front one? The white
one? His address on his driver's license is the front house.
And what's in the back one?
It's damaged, but no one's living there.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah, what? Would you put that orange house back up again?
That's a different property. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's
I'm talking about.
Property. Okay, all right, that's fine. That's what I think that. That was okay. Yeah.
Oh,
okay, that was the confusion. Well, we can just amend our previous order. I want to stay on this. I don't want to just, you know, we need at the least. I think we need progress reports and. I think so too. We can make a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until the next cutoff date to come into compliance, and then we'll see what's going on from there. I mean, this can't be allowed to go on forever.
No,
and that's the request of the city, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
I say that's the request of the city,
okay,
Madam Chair.
Yeah, and that's. All right, so the chair, okay, chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until August 2nd, 2017 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Sure. Motion by Mrs. House, second by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, so we'll see you next month.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to case number 5, CEB 0517-44. Mr. Elkram. So Joe Hopkins is here, I bet, for that. Okay. 714 East International Speedway. All right. Come forward and be sworn in.
Can you state your name for the record, please?
My name is Joe Hopkins.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we will hear from Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is reporting that the to amend to the next to the September cutoff date. The inspector is Michael Fitzgerald, and I would have to tender Mr. Fitzgerald to give you any further information unless he's fine with you hearing from Mr. Hopkins on where they are on this project. Either way.
All right.
Your choice.
Yeah, Mr. Fitzgerald, where are we here?
Mike Fitzgerald, the city rehabilitation inspector. The problem was this that thing that they built, the it's gone. It was a place to sit and eat,
yeah.
Porch. And then the issues that they're doing now is the paving of the back. And they're working with staff to get through all of the things that they need to do, but it's time-consuming. And I'll let the gentleman speak.
All right. Mr. Hopkins, morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Joe Hopkins. My address is 100 Marina Point Drive here in Daytona Beach. What we've done, as Michael's indicated, we removed the unauthorized structure, and we filed an application with the City of Daytona Beach for site plan approval to authorize the paved parking. That application is on file with the technical review team, pending comments from staff. That application included a landscape plan, paving and grading plan, and all of the site plan submission requirements necessary to gain authorization for the work that was done. Procedurally, as I see it, the project, once the site plan is approved, the work has already been done, so the landscaping will need to be done, and then there would be an after-the-fact permit application for the paving work.
Okay.
But the paving work is done.
Correct.
Was it done according to city code? It just, you didn't get a permit, or was
that's
it?
That's correct.
Yes.
So it was to city code.
Right. Correct.
You happen to know when you filed for those permits?
Yes, we filed. I sent a memo to the board
here.
Secretary.
I think it was on this.
I believe it was last week, if I'm not mistaken.
Last week you filed?
July 6th.
July
6th.
Right.
Correct.
Weren't you here last time saying you were going to file those?
Correct.
What happened between last time and?
We had to obtain a survey and then do the design work and pull all the application exhibits and so forth together.
So the biggest issue is the impervious area.
Correct. And from a design standpoint, the parking lot is considered impervious because it was compacted gravel. And what they did is they put asphalt over top of that. One of the concerns from staff was whether we were increasing the nonconformity of the site by paving it from side to side. We, in our site plan, we showed some areas to be cut back to provide for the required buffers. There's a 3-foot perimeter buffer around the south, east, and west sides. We also demonstrated that the striping conforms to the city code. Handicap accessible parking dimensions are met across the board. So we're moving in the right direction. It's taken some time, and we appreciate the staff's and your patience with us.
Any other comments? Go ahead.
The gentleman who you're representing basically didn't know that he should get a permit to pave the parking area. Was he the one that made that decision? Or?
That's correct. And the contractor, knowingly or unknowingly, didn't seek a permit. It was really the contractor's responsibility to secure the permit, right, not the property owner.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's fine. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until the September cutoff of September 6, 2017 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion. Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, case number 6, CEB04-17-21. MHP Daytona Air at 1018 Cozy Circle. Are you Mr. McCann?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm Jerry McCann. I work for MHP Daytona. I live at 1079 June Terrace.
Can you raise your hand, please, sir? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, we'll hear from code and then we'll let you speak.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for the imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the violations continue to exist. However, I think the last status he's aware of is that the owner was trying to gain possession of the trailer, and he believes that that is still the status, that they're still working on gaining possession, and he's asking to amend to the next cutoff.
Okay.
Well,
we'll come up to the mic. Thanks.
I got clearance to be in the property now. So,
I'm sorry.
I've got clearance to go into the property now inside,
oh, okay.
So we can fix it.
You okay.
And give me like a week, and I'll have it repaired. The shed's gone already. We cleaned up the property all the way around.
Right.
So, about a week, I should have it in compliance.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Stinson? You have anything to say? No? Okay. Any questions or comments from the board? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until August 2nd, 2017 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mrs. Heim, second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay.
You know,
good.
I'll follow as soon as I have him come over and look at it.
Okay. All right. Now, case number 7. Don't go anywhere, Mr. Stinson. CEB05-17-48, Daytona Ocean Rentals. Is anyone present for that? All right. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, you may recall at last meeting the position of staff was request that you continue this to today's meeting, as we were working out some things with the mortgage company. That's not progressing the way that we needed to progress. Difficulty with an owner, which has kind of been history of this property. The recommendation of the city is that we proceed with this case. We recommend a fine be imposed. The property remains in noncompliance. Mrs. Simpson's done a recent inspection of the property. It remains in noncompliance. And we're asking for a $500 per day fine be imposed to a maximum of $20,000.
Okay.
Effective to the prior meeting, what was the basis of continuing, so that you would have the opportunity to make it effective to last month's meeting if you so chose. Our recommendation is to make it effective as to that meeting.
Okay, that meeting date was
June 8th,
okay.
The compliance date was May 31st, so it could be either 31st or
8th. Yeah, oh, that was the cutoff when it was supposed to. Okay, May. Yeah, 5:31.
Yeah, I feel comfortable going back to the. I don't have a problem going back to our last meeting. we made the decision to make the so not a problem going back to the compliance.
Okay, I get that.
I'm saying it's wrong.
Right.
And more comfortable if you just go back to the last.
Okay. Well, we made the decision.
We made the decision.
Mr. Jones?
This is the one that's near A1A, right?
Yeah.
And it's been problems forever.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And
the mortgage company is well aware of where we are at this stage. They're still working towards completing a foreclosure. The anticipation is that it's at least set for the final hearing in October. Of course, there's things that they can make effort to do, and they've expressed that they will try and do those in terms of just standard legal procedures, you know, summary judgments, filing for early motions, whether or not the court grant those and allow them to have earlier hearings. Those are things that's not in our control. But ultimately, as we all know, you know, if they reach it to the end, you know, all of the fines disappear. So if we can't get it worked out with the owner, then that's what their alternative is, and that's the one that they're working with as well. So they're progressing in the manner in which it progresses, which is to get it through to a foreclosure and take control of the property or make it available on at condition sale.
Still renting units out there.
Well, I'm sorry?
In the meantime, he's still renting units. There's still people living in there.
The status, as we know, is still the same as it has been, to the best of our knowledge. And there, yes, the city is looking at all other options that are available. We're very much concerned, well able and willing to look at things that can possibly be on the table. It's a brainstorming type situation, so I don't have real answers, but I know that there's things that, you know, we're all sitting down together and trying to.
So you're actually speaking to the private mortgage holders?
Yes. Well, we're actually speaking to their counsel at this point.
Their counsel.
Because it is in foreclosure, so they have counsel representing them, and we're speaking to their counsel.
Mm-hmm.
We have previously spoken to the...
But they've made no attempt to do anything...
No.
...to fix up this property or do anything.
They
won't
do it.
And they're not going to do it.
So your recommendation was $1,000 a day.
I think it was $500.
$500 per day.
$500 a day.
To a maximum of $20,000.
Back to the last...
Right.
So it's going to pretty much max out.
Very.
It's just the idea of the foreclosure, what the city can work out. So I would recommend that you do exactly what's, and go back to the last meeting, $500 a day.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty comfortable with that. Yeah. That adds up pretty quickly, well, since we can only put it up to $20,000, right? Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $500 per day against the respondent, effective as of the last meeting, June 8th, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $20,000. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Weatherholt, second. Mr. Jones, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, case number 8 in compliance, case number 9. CB0617-67, Daytona Beach Club. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning.
800 North Atlantic. All right, Mr. Jackson. Mr. Newell's not here.
Swear them. No, Madam Chair, we got an email saying he was not able to be here today. If you all would like to step up to the microphone and state your name, I'll go ahead and swear you in.
Steve Merchant, President, Daytona Beach Club Association, address 9451 Telfer Run, Orlando, Florida.
Stephen Folks, Vice President of Daytona Beach Club, 800 North Atlantic, Unit 502.
Okay, you both raise your right hands, please. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about the right is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for, lost which one, imposition of a fine. This is a case by the fire inspector, David Newell. And Mr. Newell reports that he recommends that the well, he reports that the property remains in non-compliance, and he says that it should take about till the 3 months cutoff to come into compliance, the October cutoff. He gives two reasons for this. He says the doors are on order, and as soon as they come in, they are coming to install them. They are replacing around 15 doors. They're going to have to shut the water down to install all three backflow devices, so they are coordinating with the city to move the water meters so the meter and backflows can be installed at the same time. They have shown progress on all of the sprinkler repairs, and they're just waiting for a few units to be completed. So this time is necessary for coordinating this overall process, which will be extensive, and waiting for the materials to come. At least from the recommendation of Mr. Newell. And I don't think
the recommendation is to
the October cutoff,
which is 10-4. Okay.
Isn't this one of those safety issues that we've always considered a little different than normal repairs?
Well, with looking at with the meters and everything, as long as they're in compliance, you know, the sprinklers, what they're basically waiting for is, you know, from the city moving the meters back with the new backflows and the doors. I mean, I think it's not a lot that they can do until then, but I mean, they've been over the months been in compliance with pretty much everything else, structural and.
I understand it's still a safety issue.
Yeah, the safety issue. I think that what they said is the sprinklers are, you know, are done, but they have additional work from the meter and the backflow devices to
right.
Move all of them back.
And what are the, well, I mean, since Mr. Newell isn't here, what doors are we talking about?
Well, and I'm sure that it probably would be better to hear from the respondent, but as he indicates in the stairwell doors do not self-close or latch. Stairwell door panic hardware was not operative. So I'm sure that's what we're talking
okay.
about, and that would be, of course, you know, additional safety, but I think the question was asked before in terms of is it to the level of shutdown, life
right.
safety
and
type of issue, Mr. Newell didn't feel it was.
Meet the new safety standards.
Okay. I just recall
yeah.
a previous case where we sort of continued it on, and 2 days later the place got fire.
Okay. Gentlemen.
Good morning, everyone. Ms. Tarrant and I appreciate your concern, sir. And let me answer to those a bit more, because I think that I certainly felt the same way, sir, and we take this very seriously. The door, sir, we had worked on the doors as far as the framing to get them to close and came to the decision that that was ineffective. So we got the quotes, and we have actually already paid for, and I have signed paperwork. It was all sent to Inspector Newell in advance of the meeting. He confirmed that he had received everything he'd request. But, for example, the 12 doors are all getting replaced, including new frames. The board committed. I have signed contracts that I signed personally for over $30,000 for that. The three, and with that, because that is very concerning, we even offered to pay for any expedited express or anything that we could do to get it here as quickly as possible. I was notified last evening, because we wanted to follow up on this and have the most current information on this. The doors have actually arrived at the door company here. They expect to have them delivered to the association over the next 2 to 3 days, is what I was told in the briefing last night. When the doors come in, our maintenance person is prepared immediately to paint around the framing of the door to protect it for long term, and they're ready to start the installation right away, is my understanding. Other issues that were of true concern was that we were not testing our fire log, because it had been pointed out there was a bearing issue with our fire pump. That has been paid for and already repaired and up and running. And we met with Inspector Newell on Monday of this week. I came up and met personally and went over each of the items. And certainly in the meeting, my personal feeling was he was very pleased with the progress and all aspects of it. The sprinkler repair had already been completed. Part of it was to do new hangers around the piping. It's already been completed as far as that. I have documentation of a fire panel inspection that was in January, and the repairs were completed in February 26th of 17. The doors we've already addressed. The backflows. So it's not my understanding that that was a safety issue. It's a statute change requiring that the backflows get installed. They weren't installed when the property was installed. And with that, I'm much more of a backflow expert today than I would have been before. And we actually have three backflows at the property. We've paid for all three backflows, or we have three places that require a backflow. We've paid for the backflows to be installed. And there's one for our domestic line that comes in. There's one for a line that goes to our pool separately. And then there's a fire sprinkler backflow. All three have already been paid for and committed under signed contracts that were turned in to Mr. Newell. And we have them in our possession as well to provide here today. Every single item on the inspection that we went down with Officer Newell when he was there, Inspector Newell, the piping, the fire pump and piping system that comes in the thing, some of it was corroded. We've paid for that to totally be replaced. Every aspect of this. When I stood here at the last meeting, I said, when I walk out this door, I'll go immediately and start action. And we went right to the association, initiated action on every step of this. Most of these contracts were all signed on June the 20th. To take action, and every single thing is moving as fast as we can, just relying on permitting and the workers in front of us.
Very good.
If there was a fire issue, trust me, the fire inspector.
Right, that's a lot. I mean, if Mr. Newell is satisfied, at this point, I'm going to have to rely on his judgment, and that's.
And Madam Chair, if I can say as well, we've been working
plus
with these respondents for more than a year, and
well,
they have been, I mean, not specifically this case, but in other cases as well.
Right.
And they have been consistent in their reporting, and their outcomes have been consistent, and there's no reason that I would question what he's telling me.
All right.
Need a motion.
Okay. The Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until 10-4-17 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mr. Jones, second. Ms. Himes, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Where are we now? We are on case number 10, CEB 06-17-68, J-Pop's property. Anyone here for that? This is another Mr. Newell property who is not here. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. Mr. Newell recommends, says that the property remains in noncompliance. He recommends that we amend to the August cutoff. His information reports that the fire alarm panel still needs some repairs, and he's working with the contractor to install the strobe. This is an old panel, and it's difficult to find replacement parts. So the challenge for the respondent is it is an old panel, difficult to find replacement parts, but they're working with a contractor to get everything installed, and he's asking to give them till next cutoff. Well, I said next cutoff. He said the August cutoff.
Well, that is, yeah, that's an
that is next cutoff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cutoff.
Okay.
Chair will entertain, any questions from the board? Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until August 2nd, 2017, to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Such a move.
All right. Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second, Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. 11 and 12 are in compliance. Case number 13, CEB 05-17-41. Michael Malik. Is he here? No. All right. Mr. Jackson and Mr. Garcia.
Okay.
This case, I'm just going to say, first notified. They were first notified in February. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. You had the issue of a damaged roof and weather pole and uprooted tree. The inspector is Danny Garcia. Ms. Garcia reports that the tree has been removed, and they're still hiring a contractor to handle the other work, presumably the damaged roof. And the inspector is asking that we amend to the next cutoff, and I will tender Mr. Garcia for any other further factual questions about the status of the case.
Okay. Mr. Garcia. How many times have you spoken to Mr. Malik, the owner?
Good morning. Neighborhood Service Inspector Garcia. Credentials on file.
Okay.
I actually spoke to him a few days ago.
Okay.
I did a reinspection.
Where does he live? Does he live on that property?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
I spoke to him on the property. I did a reinspection verifying that the tree has been removed, which it has. I took photos of it. He chose to do the tree first because he said that the neighbor was complaining about it from day one, which was true. I was getting numerous calls about that. But the issue, the main issue, it's a big safety issue, which is the pole. And I just, doing the reinspection, I found that the columns in the front that hold the top of the roof portion in the front is deteriorating, so it is a safety issue to me. I spoke to his wife. His wife stated that she's coming upon some money, and that she's going to be able to, get the permits and all. But permits are still not even applied for.
They aren't applied for.
There have not been applied for.
So I see this date of February 2nd. This wasn't like hurricane damage. This was prior to in February. This is when this was an issue. What was an issue February?
Yeah, it was hurricane damage with the tree. The tree uprooted.
Okay, that's right. Okay. So February 2nd, 2017. It's been an issue for 6 months now.
Mm-hmm. And he had some issues with the homeowner?
No, he is the homeowner.
No, I mean the association.
It was a neighbor. It was reported by neighbors. And owner was supposed to be in today. I spoke to him. He said he would be. I don't know why he's not.
And what is your recommendation?
Well, based on the fact that she was saying that they were going to, with this money that she came across, that they were going to pull the permits, but we'll see by next cutoff if nothing's done. I'm fine, certain.
They hadn't hired a contractor yet?
Not that
or
I'm aware of.
For permits or anything.
Well, he'd have to pull permits.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the structural contractor.
Yes.
Any other thoughts on this? My thought is that I'm not willing to.
I think the fine should be.
Wait.
Instead of waiting.
That's
fine. They all say that Matthew Damage is delayed in getting help for it.
But it's been delayed for a long time. Well, I'm going to make a motion. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $50 per day against the respondent effective today, July 13, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Mr. Weatherholt, second by Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
None opposed.
None opposed. All right, let's move on to case number 14, CEB 0617-70, Darryl Rice. Mr. Rice present? I think he had shown up before. Okay. Come forward, be sworn in. Good morning.
Good morning.
Darryl
Rice.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Jackson. We'll hear from Mr. Jackson and Code People first, and then we'll listen to you. So you can just have a seat right there. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you from position of finding Inspector Stanley Garcia. Mr. Garcia reports that the property remains in non-compliance. He acknowledged that the respondent has been making progress, has been working on it. The progress has been very slow, however. He's wrestling with the thought of it possibly being insufficient, and if that's But he's not sure what other efforts this respondent will make to increase the effort and get this thing done. If whatever he's saying today isn't satisfactory to you, our recommendation is $200 per day fine to a maximum of $10,000. But we're willing to acknowledge that he's been doing some work. It's just that it's not sufficient enough to say that, to tell you that it's adequate. And I turn to Mr. Garcia if you have any questions to Mr. Garcia specific, but Mr. Garcia indicates his interest in hearing what the respondent is saying today.
Okay. Shall we hear, Mr. Garcia, do you want to speak after the respondent talks, or anybody
sure.
have a question? For Mr. Garcia right now. All right, Mr. Rice, please come forward.
As we've been making a lot of progress and been spending $500 or $600 monthly, and right now there's a trailer in the yard with gravel and mulch, and I've rented space and moved in storage a trailer and moved it from the front to the back, and conferred with Danny about it back through the gates, painting the gates, and the pictures of the fence is about 75% done, but I'm now 100% disabled and I can only work about half an hour to an hour a day. But getting some help from friends or volunteers and relatives. We're even staining the driveway. I've got a couple $100 worth of stain. So I'm, in the progress of listing it possibly with Charlie LaCour, a realtor, Buddy LaCour's brother, and or selling it. Real close to doing that and finishing things I told the new possible buyer I'm doing and just met with him, and I can give you his name, Shane.
No, we don't need that thing.
Okay. But I had some questions on with Danny and called him yesterday. He didn't return my call.
All right, I have
no message.
Well,
but anyway, I really am wanting to do that, everything, and more, because I was already doing it. Uh-huh. And I wanted to work that work table.
A lot
there.
Of things that you addressed just now weren't even on this list.
That's what I mean.
Well,
we're doing it all.
What we're going to address is what's on this list.
Well, okay, I want to address that. There is no junk vehicles there. There is race car parts of a nose and a fender of the 2012 Daytona 500 because some sponsors stayed at my house and gave those to me, which I'm going to donate to Living Legends.
Okay. Do you have your address numbers up?
There's no address numbers. But
okay.
That was a mistake, mine too, because they're kind of
blocked. And you're parked in the right place now?
Yes, my number.
So your address is up. You've stopped illegal parking. How about the roof damage?
Yeah, there's one more. The artificial tile, which is a lightweight red, like a facade at Taco Bell. There's one piece missing on the carport, the south carport. But I am doing more and over and above everything as I continue. But there are work tables, which technically is cluttered in the work in progress.
Could we see some of these pictures again, please?
Yeah, I was going to ask what date
are they
on.
Current?
Yes, these are current.
Those are current?
Yeah.
That one is not because I moved the trailer. And that's why I wanted to talk to him yesterday.
I think the code enforcement board is covering these dates.
With that trailer? No.
July 11th.
Okay. July 11th, okay.
Yeah, all the big lamps, I've got 5 out of 6 of them done. And they're decorative lamps like I did around the corner by the Live Oak Inn.
Thank you very much. Mr. Garcia, are you satisfied that after this that there's progress been made? Enough progress?
No, ma'am. If I may.
Okay.
The main issue we have here is a large amount of outside storage.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main amount, the biggest issue. We have vehicles that have been moved around. Sometimes they'll come in compliance, or they'll be, they'll move from the spot that they're at, and then they'll be back. There's several times he has trailers where he fills up with the outside storage, and I think what it's doing is just moving them around. I don't know if they're removing them or not. The roof, as you see in this picture here, the vehicle towards the left under the carport or that overhang, I told him I don't think it's registered. I have not been up to it, but it's not registered. He wants to keep it there. I told him it has to be either registered or removed. There's vehicles come and go all the time, and they're parked on the grass and whatnot. So,
those are helpers mostly.
The roof has not been done. There's buckets on the roof, items on the roof. On the other side of the building, off of a different street, there's a trailer in the driveway. There's doors, windows. There's just a lot of stuff there that needs to be taken.
Moved backwards.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. One second.
And as he said, he's taking care of items. He's taking care of things, but things that he's not, that I didn't ask him to. The main thing is the outside storage, the vehicles, the roof.
Exactly.
The number is available. You can see the numbers now because they were covered with all the stuff. But now you can see that. It's
all
there.
Right. Do we have any questions from the board for Mr. Garcia? You can make one more statement, and then we're going to move forward.
Buckets on the roof. I'm doing preventive maintenance, not a new roof, with the square aluminum with the rubber in the middle to fit seven or eight vents. Preventive maintenance. They will be coming down in a matter. You know, I'm multitasking with a lot of things. And the double gates. I'm painting them.
All right.
That's
it. You're repeating yourself. So I'd like to move forward with this. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $200 per day against the respondent effective today, July 13, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mrs. Hines.
Second.
Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
I would like to request.
No, we're finished with the case now. Thank you.
A one-on-one.
No, we're no one-on-ones. We're finished with the case.
Sir,
All right, let's move on to case number 15, CEB06-17-71. Shannon Shawan, care of Jessica Ciccarelli at 357 Seneca. Respondent present? No. All right. Mr. Jackson, Mr. Garcia.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. Mr. Garcia is reporting that there's some substantial changes going on at the property. He'd like to tell you about them and make a recommendation of where we should go next on this.
Our Neighborhood Services Inspector Garcia, City of Daytona Beach, credentials on file. This property has a lien on it. In a previous case for the roof, if you remember, I now had cited it for the garage door, parking on the grass, and outside storage and trash and debris.
Mm-hmm.
The trash and debris was cleaned up. The vehicle has been removed, and the garage door has been removed now. What happened is now is that there is a new owner coming in place, and they're doing a major amount of work to rehab this place. So I'd like to see if we can... I thought someone was going to be here to state that they were going to be the new owner. And Mike Fitzgerald is actually working on the demolishing part, but they put a hold on that.
Demolishing what, the house?
It was supposed to be demolished, but they put a hold on it because of the new buyer. And the new buyer even stated that she was going to pay off the lien.
So what kind of lien is on the house? One of our liens?
Yes.
We already have a code lien on this house.
Correct.
Okay, that's the satisfaction you're signing. Okay, all right, so this is the one. Okay, so they paid the liens.
No, they're...
Yeah, they did.
Not yet.
Yes.
Oh, they have? Oh, okay. That's right.
So they've paid the code lien.
In amount of...
$10,000.
That's the only reason why I said to amend, just to get this new
owner. Now, are there still squatters there?
No, there isn't.
No squatters there. So is it Ciccarelli, Ms. Ciccarelli, that's taking care of the property? I mean, the new owner? Who's the new owner?
See if I don't have any information on that. I just spoke to someone.
Let me see this.
The new owner has title now. I mean, they are the owner.
I don't believe so. I don't think
so
it's in
new buyer.
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
No, he doesn't. That's fine. Okay. That's fine. We'll get it squared away.
So if we don't know, it's not really relevant.
We'll get it squared away.
We got $10,000.
We got somebody paid off the lien.
Right. Who paid
what
that
we
lien?
What we do know is someone of great interest is involved in the property doing some work and was willing to pay off the lien. And so it's our belief, at least, that it would be beneficial to allow them the time to finish doing the work.
Do some, yeah.
And since they are making good progress.
I would have liked it if somebody
progress.
Would have shown up today. That would have, helped
someone's
our decision.
To.
Excuse me. The check from the title company says the buyer's name is Ocean Holding Group, LLC. So that was the purchaser.
Ocean Holding
Group, LLC.
So is it normal for somebody that doesn't own a property to pay off a lien?
It was paid at closing.
Oh, so it has closed.
It has closed.
And there is a new owner.
That's what I just read off the check for the from the title.
So we do know who the owner.
The owner
is
the new owner.
The new owner is Ocean Holding.
Seller Shawan. Buyer Ocean Holding Group LLC.
Right.
On this property, this check that I received for the amount of the.
We need to notice a new owner. We can't take any action against the owner today.
Okay.
All right.
So I think we. I need to get a few kinks worked out of this one, so I think that we should amend the previous order and get them back in here next month. Is that satisfactory?
Add Ocean.
The new owners in here.
Yeah, make sure everybody's noticed properly. And all right, the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the, shall we say, new noticed respondent until the next cutoff date to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved.
And further add the new owner, Ocean Holding Group,
LLC. And add, yes, the new owner, Ocean Holding Group, LLC, to the complaint. Is there such a motion?
Yeah, the problem we've got with that motion is that the law says you've got to give the new owner an opportunity to cure.
Yes.
You're finding them already.
Right.
No.
We're amending.
We amended.
Just amending.
Yes.
Right. So we're not going to amend it.
Correct.
Okay, that's fine. I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm going to make sure we don't fight it today.
Right.
So.
No, we're not. No,
okay,
we're
good.
Amending it till
right.
next.
So that'll be next month. Okay.
Right.
Are you okay with that, Jim?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't think it hurts anything if when they show up, if they have some reason that we're misreading or misunderstanding something,
right.
They can clarify it.
Right.
But the record, at least the public records, seem to reflect
right.
what
okay.
we're
okay.
understand. Well, at least the records, what we've received, seems
if
to reflect what we understand.
Today, we're okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Garcia, outside storage is taken care of and parking.
Well, because of all the construction now, we got outside storage again. But that was the whole reason for me amending, was to allow the new owners to get on board and
okay.
make do what
okay.
they got to do.
Okay. All right. So, is there a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, post. Motion carries. All right. Case 16 and 17 are in compliance. Case 18, CEB 0617-75, April Wilson at 951 North Street. Anyone present for this case? All right, this is Mr. Sanders. And we'll hear from Mr. Jackson and Mr. Sanders.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that this property remains in noncompliance. There's been no contact from the respondent. Mr. Sanders is requesting that a fine be imposed of $250 per day to a maximum of $15,000. And he's asking for a one-time $250 fee for the no business tax receipt as well. And I'll turn to Mr. Sanders if you have any further factual questions.
Good morning.
Jerry Sanders.
Hi.
Neighborhood Services. My credentials are on file with the city.
Are there tenants in here?
They're still in there, yes. They're still renting the property out.
And so it hasn't been trespassed or anything? Okay.
No. The lady that's staying there, she is paying. Doesn't get evicted,
mm-hmm.
so she continues to pay, and she's the one that signed the consent to let me in to do the inspection of the property.
You know how much she's paying a month?
I didn't ask. I have a copy of the lease. I don't know if you could tell on the lease, but it's on the lease.
Is this now before we looked at this? I know that I had a question about the safety of this building. Sure hasn't gotten better. Has it gotten worse?
There's nothing been done to the house. And as far as I know, we went through the rainy season, the roof's still leaking, and, you know, they're still living in that condition.
What are you showing us now?
That is the copy of the lease, and it's fuzzy there. It's really not a good picture, but there's one part if we could focus in, but it's her name, and she signed.
The tenant.
She signed. Yeah, the tenant.
She hasn't tried any her own things, like a letter, withholding rent, that kind of stuff.
Well, she continues to pay the rent. I don't know if she went to legal services. She was advised to do that if she felt, you know.
Yeah, there are some options for under 83.
Right.
They won't involve us.
But.
Let's remove the question.
All right. Well. Well, do you feel it's safe for someone, or is it? So, I mean, I have real questions about the safety of this and the conditions that someone is living in, whether it's voluntary or not. Whether she's living there voluntarily or not is kind of immaterial to me. Yeah. I have questions about the safety of this building.
Yeah, Madam Chair, under our current code, that's an ultimate decision of the chief building official. I think it remains that even as we're amending it now to add additional criteria. But so that's something we can follow up on and see what decision is made by the chief building official. But at this time, that's not a decision that this inspector is able to make.
Okay, that's fine.
Do you think $250 a bed is going to do anything?
I think that's
just a large one.
As long as the you try to make contact, send them a letter.
I sent them certified mail, and it was returned. And I also posted the property. And then we posted with the notice of hearing. And I also spoke with the tenant and told her to tell the landlord to please contact me so we could get this taken care of.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
So, all right. So no one, correct, stove. I mean, there's so many things wrong in here that to me are safety issues that I would like to know if there's an alternative for us other than just slapping a fine on them.
Not for us.
Not for us. So that's for the... Well, I mean... So, okay.
Do we have to vacate the place and get a find a place where to live?
Well, you can look at this picture here. And can we back that picture up, please? This is a 220 service that's hanging off the wall. So,
yeah, our only strength of, Madam Chair, Members of the Board, under Chapter 162, our benefit of the knowledge of even our concerns of life safety is just accelerating the time for things to be remedied and being authorized to take, you know, further actions that will require still for us to either get either court orders or chief primary administrative action from the building official, whatever authority. The authority from right now is the commission, but it's before the commission that it would be the chief building official. So at this time, even if we see things that are of great significance, the limits of Chapter 162, in my mind, is only accelerating what needs to be done and extend of the penalties. I think we've already dealt with the issue of time periods, and we see that time periods aren't working. And I think the only thing, you can see what Charlie says, but I think the only thing y'all have left is the ability to find. And, of course, make the letters and recommendations of city action, which you can do.
Well, that's
what, you've done
what
in
I'm
past.
Thinking about doing. I mean, I know that we can request.
Certainly.
Could we request that the building inspectors go into this building?
You can take a look at it.
We
can't tell them what to do.
No, I said, can we request
that
they do
that? You can, there's a section 162 that you can enter any orders that you need to enter and to get somebody in compliance.
So
that'll help.
I have a question.
But it doesn't trump the Fourth Amendment, so we still would have to take some actions to get authority.
Well, we can do both, correct? I mean, it doesn't have to be an either or.
You can ask the court the building inspector to look at it.
Yeah. Yes. I have a question.
Yes.
We're ruling on this case. As far as the safety particular issue you're talking about, is there no requirement of the code inspector to notify the building department when he sees something like that? Or do you just keep waiting a month before somebody gets electrocuted before it comes to this board?
I would suspect if any official of the city, if they see something that's dangerous to a citizen or the public, that they will report it to the proper folks with the authority to take action.
Okay, well, I would think something would be in the works right now.
Okay. Well, we're going to request that it does get in the works. All right. I'm going to fashion a motion here.
Madam Chair, just to let you know, the compliance date for this was June 25th. You did shorten the compliance date if you wanted to impose the fine.
Yeah, we do. Well, I do. June 25th. Yeah. We were trying to get this something moving here. All right, let me see what I can do here. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective June 25th, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. The board further entertains a motion to impose a one-time $250 administration fee and requests that the building department inspect the property.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Harrington, second by Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. That makes me feel better. All right. Case.
If you would like just to go back for 1 second, I did pull up a recorded warranty deed for the previous case.
Okay, good.
It is Ocean Holding Group, LLC. The deed was recorded July 6th.
Okay, great.
So you do have the right response.
Okay. All right, case number 19, CEV 1776, Gillis and Yoko Creech. No respondents, all right? Mr. Jackson and Mr. Sanders.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that this property remains in noncompliance. He's had no contact from the respondent. My note indicates that the board previously authorized securing the property. Our desire now is for a $250 a day fine to be imposed, to a maximum of $15,000.
Okay.
And I tend to Mr. Sanders if you have any further factual questions.
Is the property secured? No?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Did we order it secured?
Yeah,
no.
Did we ask?
I don't think we did. Have we ordered, asked for it to be secured?
The note, it appears that y'all have authorized us to secure it.
Okay.
So it just,
but,
for whatever purpose,
been, yeah.
It,
okay.
Well, it hadn't happened at this point.
Okay.
But it has been authorized.
Okay, cool. All right. Let's see. So the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today, July 13, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum $15,000. Such a motion?
Second.
Mrs. Himes made the motion. Mr. Jones made the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, we'll move on to our new cases. Case 20 in compliance. Case 21 is 71779 John B. Clark, 726 Rawlings Court. Mr. Clark?
Yes, ma'am.
Please come forward and be sworn in.
Good morning. Can you say your name, please, for the record?
John B. Clark.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, if you'll be seated, we'll allow Code to speak first. All right, Mr. Jackson and Mr. Stenson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. This arose while the inspector was inspecting other property. It's not a complaint generated. It's the property remains in noncompliance. The inspector is recommending next cutoff for the property to come into compliance.
Okay.
Inspector, as you said, it's Mr. Stinson. If you have any further questions regarding factual questions.
All right. Mr. Stinson, this building, this property is being cited for no permit for building renovations. Have any been done?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
John Stinson, okay. Code inspector with the city. My applications are on file. This property has been in the state for quite some time. In fact, I do recall having a case on this property probably back in 2007-2008. However, the house did sit secure for a long period of time. It was boarded up. Now, all of a sudden, there's work being done on the property, and there's no permits applied for or issued for the property, which is the reason for the stop work order to be issued.
Who's the owner of record?
Mr. John B. Clark.
Who's here? All right, we'll let him speak and then... What can you tell us, Mr. Clark?
I just bought the property a short time ago, number one. Number two...
When did you buy the property?
Ma'am?
When did you buy the property?
I think it was May, April, or May.
Okay. In the spring, okay.
And I came down and asked the people downstairs, and I don't need a permit for paint and tile. That's all I was doing. I'm not ready to do anything to the property yet. So I was doing, when this officer was there, my guy was tiling. I mean, they're doing no more than tile. This, as you can see by the house, I mean, it needs a lot of work.
Does anyone live in the house?
No.
Okay.
It's not a house. It's actually a triplex.
It's a triplex. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no power. There's no water. It hasn't been there, I
okay,
think.
That's fine.
Okay.
And it's cured.
What does that mean?
No one can get in or out easily.
No one can get in.
Right.
Well, I take that back.
Well, I mean...
They keep breaking in. I mean, I'm faced with...
But it's a secure...
Yes.
It's boarded
up. As long
up.
As I'm there every day. And I'm there every day.
Okay.
Have you
made the trespass
arrest site? I have. Gone to the police. That doesn't do any good.
How long do you think it would take you to get this property into compliance?
Well, I'm scared to say. Because if I'm not in compliance, I don't want to be back here. I'm going to start working.
We're looking for compliance, obviously.
Okay.
We're also looking to help you get there.
That's what I need, is I need help. My problem...
Because that's what we do, is that we want properties in compliance. That's
what we're looking for is something to show that it's progressing, like
right.
permits, well, applying for permits or something.
I don't want to say right now, because next door... is in the same shape as mine, and I was actually going to try to buy it so I could start both, but they're applying for a permit, from what I gather. So I'm waiting to see what's actually going to happen
there. Yeah, no, if that's a separate,
okay.
completely separate...
Okay, then my next problem that I have is I've been to the police many times, trying to get the bums out of my place. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I can't explain to you how bad it is in my area. I can't explain to you how bad the trash is on the streets.
No, well, we appreciate those
well,
factors.
Well, I mean, that I need help on, too.
I know, but that's beyond this board, and it's an issue for the police.
Are you going
Go ahead.
To... You can't... You
Wait
can't...
Did you,
no.
Did I hear you correctly? You did say you have a no trespassing sign.
I have many no trespassing, and I've been
I
to the police.
Signs.
Yes, I've been to the police and made it a no trespassing
right.
where they're warned and they can be taken to jail if
okay.
they don't leave.
That's what we need. Okay,
so
that's
I have
good.
That
okay.
in place.
Madam Chair, if I can
yeah.
State, at least the inspector indicates that he has, they hadn't actually had contact, so it may be very beneficial getting with the inspector and they can figure out what all it needs.
My question is, are you going, you're going to have a contractor or contractors do this repair work when you eventually get to it?
I'm going to have myself and then a contractor, but I will be
okay.
in charge of doing it.
But the contractor will pull the permits?
No, I will.
You will pull the permits?
Yes, sir.
Is this an investment property that you're
it
planned
is. Yes.
to rent out?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean,
where do you live now, sir?
I live in Port Orange.
You do?
Yes, sir.
You know, unless if it's, if you're not going to be the resident, you're not going to be able to pull the permits because it's a partial account unless you're a general contractor.
I'm not a general contractor.
You'll have to have a contractor and pull the permits.
Okay.
And
So with that in mind, you know, getting with the inspector. Well, really, it's not the inspector. It's saying that you're going to pull the permit or do something with it, and because he's not going to be able to tell you what's out of compliance with the building, maybe on the outside.
Well, all right. Look, I'm looking at the case, and the violation is no permit for building renovations. That's...
I don't know which gentleman was here, but all you saw him doing was tile, I guarantee it. That's all he was doing.
All right, Mr. Stenson, would you come explain what that means, please? Because that's what's in front of us. The rest of it is not in front of us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This property, like I stated before, there's a prior case probably in 2007, 2008 for multiple violations on the property. Since then, the property was secured and remained vacant up until this gentleman, I assume, started to work on it, aside from the occasional break-in from a vagrant. These pictures are showing when it was boarded up, tarps on the roof, all of this dilapidation is still there. Now, if you see on the right of these pictures, you've got new vehicles, work equipment, compressors. The gentleman who was actually, as he stated, was inside doing tile work, did not grant me access to the inside, but he did mention right there on site that that was not the only work being done, because the roof work was about to begin and the rest of the structural work that needs to be done on the property was already in the process of being done.
Okay.
And that's how we came to the point of working
now
permits.
Now I understand. Okay.
So did you explain to the owner that he has to have licensed contractors and they have to pull the permits to do this work?
And this is the first time I have seen the current owner.
Okay, so we're speaking to the owner now.
Oh.
All right. Okay. All right, I'm going to entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, or which is August 2nd, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? All right, motion Mr. Weatherholt, second Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. So you need permits for your work. You speak to your inspector, and he will tell you what you need to do to come into compliance.
I think I should be given the time to respond to you.
You can come back.
Well, that's not fair.
Next month.
That's not fair.
You're not being fined today.
You're not being fined today.
I understand that part, but I should have the opportunity to find out what my legal, you know, I don't think he knows the legal aspect of what you've just said.
Yeah, yes, he does. He understands it, and he will explain it to you and tell you what you need, what needs to be done.
You have the inspector's
sound,
right?
Okay. Uh-huh. Case number 22CEB07-17-80, Marvin Large. Respondent present? No. Mr. Jackson and Mr. Sanders.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for a determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspectors, Jerry Sanders, Mr. Sanders reports that the property remains in non-compliance. He's had no contact from the respondent, the owner. He notes that there are transients on the lot, and code has attempted to send paperwork to the owner to sign up for the trespass arrest site, but as indicated, he's received no kind of communication from the owner. So we're asking for the property to be brought into compliance by next cutoff.
Okay. Any questions? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is August 2nd, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Jones, second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, case number 23, CB0717-81, Beach Apartments, LLC. Respondents present. Good morning.
I'm David Lead, architect, and I'll be, I'm working for the owner.
The owner can be testifying at all?
Are you going to testify, sir? You don't have to.
No.
But it's up to you.
We'll do it in just in case.
All right.
Okay, so just come and tell us your name and be sworn in.
I'm Vito Provost. Managing.
I'm sorry, can you spell your last name for me, please?
P-R-O-B-O-R-S-Z-C-Z. I'm a managing member of Beach Apartments.
Okay. You both raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Sir?
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
All right. We'll hear from Mr. Sanders and Mr. Jackson first, and then we'll allow you to speak.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector reports that the property remains in noncompliance. He also indicates that this will be a major project. He's not sure, quite sure, and we probably want to hear from Mr. Lee on time frame. He's not sure when would be a good compliance date. He can tell you that we probably need a progress report next month. I will attend to Mr. Sanders if you have any further questions to Mr. Sanders. Or
okay. All right, I'm looking at all the premises, identification, protection, structural members. There's a lot of work here. Right? Okay. It looks. So this work has all been done without, with or without permits?
Without the benefit of a permit.
That's why the stop work issued.
Yes, ma'am.
Order.
Originally, this case was actually passed on to me by Officer Fitzgerald. They were going to condemn the property, but the owner took responsibility and started had good intentions to rebuild, and we had to stop that, and we had to make him aware he needed to get the permits, and that's why Mr. Lee's here today.
And I know, I realized that. Does that say anything in here that there's a stop? That
no. Stop work order.
I know there's a stop work order.
The stop work order is a separate case.
Oh.
And this is the original case, okay. And I have the stop work order under another case.
Okay. That hasn't come forward to us, or already?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Because we're giving him time to get all his permits.
Okay. All right, Mr. Lee.
I inspected the property last week, so uh-huh. I'm familiar with it. I spent about an hour and a half down there, and actually did a pretty good job. Just didn't get the permit. Anyway, I told him, don't do anything until we get a permit. So okay. That part has been taken care of.
Taken care of in what respect?
He's not going to do anything until we get a permit.
Oh, so stop work, basically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, what we have to do, basically, is we have to get the survey recertified. We have to go out and measure the building and then do drawings. Check with the city if there's any other things that they want that I don't know about right now. Submit those drawings to the city. They have to run through the permit process. And when that is done, then we can start construction. So we're probably looking maybe 3 months.
From start to finish?
Mm-hmm. It's, you never know what's going to happen along the way,
right.
But that's, you know, that's pretty much what my time
okay.
frame.
Are you,
sooner.
Are you the contractor or an architect?
I'm the architect.
You're the architect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the contractor will be pulling the permits.
Whatever the city requires, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How large of a structure is that? How many square feet?
How many square feet?
Mm-hmm. Approximately.
1,000. Yeah, 1,000 per floor. There's a basement area and a second floor.
So, Mr. Provorces, how do you say your last name? Say it for me. I want to know how to pronounce it.
Provorces.
Okay. Provorces. Okay, got it. How long have you owned this building?
Well, since 2009.
Okay.
You own other properties as well in the LLC?
Well, there are three buildings on the property next to each other. 211, 215, and 219.
Okay. And that's the total sum of all the properties that you are that are listed under Beach Apartments LLC?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, what is the recommendation? Nicole, please.
Madam Chair, we're okay with the 90 days that Ms. Lead has indicated with progress reports for the interim in between months, just to make sure it's getting done. It's things that will need to be checked off, like, yep, we have the permits, yes, we're getting started, and yes, we're done. So we're okay with that time period as long as we have the progress reports.
Right. Any more questions?
The same people that started this process without a permit, will they be the ones that you're going to use to complete it?
Yeah, they're going to be.
Can you step up to my microphone, please, sir? Thank you.
I'm in the process of talking to contractors, licensed contractors at this time, and they're waiting for my architect to finish the job.
Right, but who started the process? Is it the same people you're talking to now about continuing the job?
No, sir.
Thank you.
The architect's going to have to certify anything that's done right now, the work that's been done. The biggest thing now is, since there is going to be a time span until you get started, is the building secure?
Yes, it is.
And that's the inspector is secure and everything?
Yeah, he's closed all the doors, but, you know, as far as the dug-up holes, I haven't been to see if they're the covered. He put the covers, so he said. But when he left that day, he did secure the whole place where nobody could go in.
Secure, and the architect's going to certify whatever built there and new plans or whatever. I don't see a problem with a month-to-month what progress report of what they're doing.
If the code enforcement things disrupt your entire office, so the quicker it gets done, the happier I am.
All right. Any other comments? Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent noncompliance and order a progress report starting at the next meeting and allow respondent until the October cutoff date to come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, I think the case number 24 is in compliance, and that ends the part of our agenda. Is there any? I have a little miscellaneous business. I just wanted to inform Mr. Harrington and Mr. Jones if they don't know that your terms are up in August. So we'd really like you to reapply.
Are they going to send us a notice? Or
no, this is your notice.
This is our notice.
And you can't just hit the button anymore because I think your applications need to, I had to refill out my application.
I just got to go with Betty.
It's online. Can you do that? Or go see Miss Betty Goodman.
You get it right out front here.
Yeah, Betty, yeah.
Why do you want to be on the board?
Because
I'm a good citizen.
Yeah. One other thing, Madam Clerk, Madam Chairman.
Go ahead.
We talked about this, her and Ms. Luigi and I, last week. I think we should institute a policy where we go down the list of who's here and get to them first. Mr. Lee had to stay here to the end of the meeting. A lot of people weren't here, didn't care about even being here, got taken care of. He had to wait to the end. It's a suggestion. We would just go through the agenda, whoever's here, take them in order. We don't want to go crazy all over the place and get them done first.
Madam Chairman,
I've suggested that five times.
Yes, you have. And is my...
Now, some people deserve to be waiting. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. Everyone's here for the reason that they have... They're not in compliance with code. So I'm not having a whole hard time feeling sorry for anyone. I appreciate that people come here and are there to do work when they want to do work. But I find it less confusing and actually quicker instead of flipping back and forth to go through. I am willing to, if there's an attorney that has a case in court, if they have a case in court, if they don't have a case in court, that's fine with me for them to wait. Or if there's a police officer or someone who's working a job that needs to be back on their job for the safety of our citizens, I'm willing to hear that case first. That doesn't happen that often. But the rest of it, I mean, people aren't here because they've done something right. It's a presumption on my part to think that they may be perfectly right.
So you say if someone does come up, just bring it to your attention
and
try to accommodate them.
Yeah.
Well, I think in this particular case, it's the chairman's prerogative to decide what order, if she wants to jump the agenda or not, and then she'll have to make that judgment.
I agree with that.
Okay.
It's the chairman's prerogative.
Okay.
I agree with you totally, but it, to me, sometimes we see one person sit out there.
Yes.
To the end, sometimes 2 hours.
Yes, I agree.
And the people that were being called were not even here.
Right. So I would be willing to look at a situation like that as well. I didn't realize that man was even still here.
Yeah.
I don't know everyone that's in the audience or what case they're for.
He came up and said hello to me, but he didn't ask. Did not ask to be moved up.
Right. Okay.
Like
well, then. Okay. And then I didn't say I saw him come back in.
Right.
I think that's why.
Okay.
Just one thing I noticed. I'm not complaining. I'm just observing. We didn't have a single new case this month.
Yeah. Yes, we did. We did. These are all
new cases. Then
we had
those
were
new cases.
3, 4.
Whenever I say compliance and non-compliance, that's usually it.
That's a new case. So there were 5 of them on the last page. There were.
Maybe it's an arm.
Yeah, it's really the pain med.
I don't know. We
did not have as many as last time. It's 11 o'clock and we're done. You know. So, all right. Anything else?
They didn't want to provide lunch.
Could have made it.
They did. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's basically dealing with one case, right?
One case.
Yeah. Okay. We did pretty well for that.
It was fun. Nice people that are showing up and they give us all the right information. Then there are people that.
Right.
If they wait 3 hours, that's the way it is.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Meeting adjourned.